I had so many things running through my head that I wanted to preach and couldn't quite put it together. And then Friday night, that prayer, God used Morgan to give me a word of the Lord. So we decided we're going to teach. The series is called Discern, Hearing God Clearly Through All the Noise. Discern, Hearing God Clearly Through All the Noise. It is my position, my understanding, my view of the world that we are living in what can be described as the absolute loudest time in the history of this country. There's never been a time when there is more stuff battling for your attention. There's never been a time when there's more opinions and more thoughts being thrown at you from different spheres and different influences. And there's a scripture, I believe it's in Nehemiah. I believe it's in Nehemiah, where Nehemiah is in the process of building the wall. He's repairing the wall of Jerusalem. And these two guys by the name of Sanballat and Tobiah, they come and they had done everything they could to disturb the work. And now they come to Nehemiah, to his section of the wall, and they said, "Why don't you come down just so we can reason together for a while?" And Nehemiah has the perfect response. He says, "Why should the Lord's work stop while I come down and entertain you or listen to you?" And what Nehemiah had that most of the people today in the church don't have is Nehemiah had the ability to dismiss distractions. He had the ability to know what I am doing is the work of the Lord, is the will of the Lord, and therefore I must stay focused on where God has me. Okay? And so we want to talk to you about, with everything that's going on, with everything that's being shouted at you, everything being thrown at you, and I'm going to share some things with you that I learned this week. How do you hear God? How do you know where God is in all of this? How do you discern? How do you divine? How do you just clearly know, okay, this is what God wants right now? Okay? All right, next. Principal scripture, Matthew 16, 1 through 4. Here's what it says. It says, "The Pharisees and Sadducees came up and testing Jesus." Now, you think they would know better. This isn't the first time they tried this whole thing. "Came up and testing Jesus, they asked him to show them a sign from heaven. But he replied to them, 'When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, there will be a storm today, for the sky is red and threatening. Do you know how to discern the appearance of the sky, but cannot discern the signs of the time? An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and a sign will not be given it except the sign of Jonah, and he left them and went.'" So Jesus said, "You want a sign? Here's the sign you're going to get. You're going to get preachers. That's what you're going to get." That's what he meant when he said, the only sign is the sign of Jonah. Jonah was a preacher assigned to go to a city called Nineveh. The best way we can describe Nineveh is to say that Nineveh was like the Vegas of the times. If it was happening, it was happening in Nineveh. Remember they said, the story says, if you read the story of Jonah, remember Jonah and the whale? You remember when you was a kid, Jonah and the whale, and it said that it was 3 days' journey, that the whale didn't take Jonah 3 days. The 3 days' journey was talking about the size of the city. It took 3 days just to get through this city. So this was a major metropolitan place, and here's the interesting thing. Historians say that these folks had cannibalistic tendencies. So God tells Jonah, "Go down there and tell these cannibals about their sin." Now y'all know why Jonah started going the other way, right? Because all Jonah saw was a knife and a fork with his name on it. what Jesus tells these scribes and these Pharisees. He said, here's the sign you're going to get. You're going to get men like Jonah who are willing to risk it all just to tell you about yourself. He said, you want to know what your sign is? You're going to get men like Jonah who care so little about their own safety, they will put it on the line just so they can tell you what I have to say about you. But he says to them, he says, how is it that you can discern the weather? Now here's what Jesus was saying. The weather is so unpredictable, yet... I'm gonna tell you how bad they've gotten in our time. It used to be I could open my little phone up and I pull up the weather thing and it would tell me, you know, at 9 o'clock in the morning it's gonna be 75 degrees, by 10 o'clock it'll be 80 degrees, and it would show me the progression throughout the day. We opened it the other day. Here's what it literally, I'm telling y'all, they're crazy. Here's what it literally said. It's going to start raining at 2 o'clock, but it's only going to rain till 4 o'clock. Now, you really think you can be that precise with something as imprecise as the weather? But you cannot discern the times. You do not know what's going on in the sphere that counts. Because all of this, listen to this, all of this isn't going to pass away. It's passing away right in front of our eyes. Are you hearing me? All right. So, let me tell you what happened. My godbrother called me and he said, hey man, he said, I saw a documentary that I think you need to see. Hold on, they that I saw a documentary that I think you need to see. And I said, okay. He said, the documentary is about, it's called The Social Dilemma. That goes in number one there. It's called The Social Dilemma, okay? And it's all about this whole social media thing. Now, here's the interesting thing. All the people in this documentary, it's kind of like a docudrama because they're giving you, documentaries give you historical facts and context, but then they have a drama part where they're kind of acting it out and showing you just how this really works. And so all the people in this documentary, however you want to label it, all of them are people who have worked in big tech. All of them are people. Like one guy, his only job, he was the guy who developed the like button. That's what he did. He developed the like button. You know, when you're on Facebook, like it's a like. And so here's what he said about the like button. He said the like button was developed to like your post and say, hey, I like that. That was nice. He said I was thinking. This would be good. It would give people a warm feeling to know that people like. He said, "I didn't know that it was going to create psychological problems for people. The law of unintended consequences." Okay, but here's what they get into. They get into now. The interesting thing is, all of these people that have put this whole thing together: Google, Crookbook, Facebook. Don't get me started. Instagram, Twitter, all these people who have put this stuff together, they began to tell secrets of this whole industry. And they began to tell how, one guy said, he said, it's dangerous for this kind of power to exist with people. He said, they have the power to actually target a region and totally destabilize that region just with posts and clicks. He said, I'm not telling you something that may exist someday. He said, this exists right now. Here's what I also found interesting. Every person in this documentary, to one extreme or another, said this at the end. One guy said, oh, we don't allow any social media in our house. our kids don't have any social media. Another guy, a psychologist that was in it, he said, I recommend that kids not be allowed to engage social media until high school. He said, I think 16 is a good age. Now, here's why he said this, because one of the stats they threw out was that since 2010, in the last 10 years, suicides of junior high school age girls is up 160%. 160%. Because they're seeing all these images that they can never attain. And it's making them feel insufficient. Now, you know, let's not even start talking about, you know, I was thinking about this last night. You know, I don't care where you stand on this election. I'm going to tell you where I'm at right now. I just want it to be over. I'm tired of seeing political commercials. I can't hardly watch nothing. Every one of my inboxes, I got five email accounts. Every one of them got stuff in there about politics. I'm so sick of hearing about this election. If they don't ever say nothing to me about another election, they'll be cool with me. Let's just get it done. But what I'm trying to get you to see is that all these are the voices that are screaming for your attention. And in the midst of all, I'll wink at you too. In the midst of all of it, she's over here winking at me. Come on, Barb. All of these things are screaming for your attention. And in the midst of all of that, you're expected to be able to hear God. And what I'm trying to get you to see is, you all have heard me say this, if you're not hearing God, it's not because he's not talking. It's because you're not listening. Now, what I'm also going to say is there's a second reason, and that is there's too much static on your line, too many distractions, too many other things have your attention. Because, see, God doesn't always speak in thunder.
Thus saith the Lord to his servant Miguel, arise, pray.
That's God doesn't always do it that way. That's not how he does it. Yeah, you can see, y'all, everybody who watched the Ten Commandments, that's how God spoke to people in the Ten Commandments. And I was like, I wish it did happen that way. That would make it so easy. But no. You've got to have something on the inside of you that allows you to push the noise aside. Okay? So, point number one. Discernment is to be desired. Discernment is to be desired. It's one of the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 lays out the gifts of the Spirit. And when you go through and you count them one by one, you'll find out that there are 9 gifts of the Spirit. Now, in my lifetime, when I was a young man, a teenager, the church that I attended in California, Greater Bethany Community Church, pastored by Bishop R.W. McMurray, one of the most powerful preachers. The man was such a powerful preacher. He had nicknames like the Preaching Machine. He was a powerful preacher. And he would invite a guy to our church to do revivals, to do meetings there. And the guy's name was Bishop Randolph Hurricane Jackson. Randolph Hurricane Jackson. Excuse me. You could tell this was the age of titles. Guys didn't just go by their name. They had to have an insignia, a title, something. But see, Randolph Hurricane Jackson was the real deal. He was from Spartanburg, South Carolina. He's gone on to heaven now. He's from Spartanburg, South Carolina. And Randolph Hurricane Jackson, after service is going on and people are singing and doing all they do, and then they would present the preacher. We have the honor, we have the privilege tonight to have a great man of God with us. I want to introduce to you Bishop Randolph Hurricane Jackson. And he would come to the platform and he would start singing. And the first song he would sing a lot of times, "It's in my heart, this melody of love divine. It's in my heart, I'm his, and he is mine." He would sing that song, and then about halfway through the song, his whole expression would change, and he would say, "I'm here to declare that I am the devil's boss. I have all 9 gifts of the Spirit, and they all work freely." He would declare it, and then he would demonstrate it. Did y'all hear what I said? He would declare it, and then he would demonstrate it. Here's the unique thing. People thought, and I did too, man, what kind of sanctification Holy Ghost you got, that you got all 9 gifts. You got all, God put all the gifts in one package in one guy. Man, this dude, he must spend 7 hours a day in prayer. This dude. Then the Lord told me, he said, "You got the Holy Ghost?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You got all 9 too." He said, "You just don't put a demand on them." Y'all missed that. So it's not that you don't have discernment. It's not that you can't discern. It's that you haven't developed, or you don't desire. It's just, see, these gifts are just like, remember I told you, if you've received the Holy Spirit, you have the ability to speak in tongues, whether you ever do it or not. Remember me saying that? You know how I could say that? Because tongues are a gift of the Holy Spirit. So the question is not what you have the ability to do. The question is what he has the ability to do. Everybody hear that? All right, scripture. 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue love. Yet desire earnestly or sincerely spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. So you want to desire, you want to have a desire. God, I need more discernment. My wife will tell you, I get frustrated sometimes watching the church go through what we're going through. I'll say to her, I'll say, "How are they missing this?" I said, "I can't be the only one seeing this." I said, how is this not clear to somebody other than me?" But it's because I put such a demand on the Holy Spirit to explain to me what's going on. And I've learned to sit down and listen. So it doesn't matter what I'm doing. When God says, "I want to talk," everything else has to stop. Because that means he wants me to listen. And let me tell you something. Discernment is about listening for the Holy Spirit and listening to the Holy Spirit. Are you hearing me? All right. Number 2. Scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:19 through 22. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances. But examine everything how? Examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Abstain from every form. Okay, so I want you to go back to 19. Back to 19. Let's stay right there for a second. Do not quench the Spirit. What does that mean? Not put out, do not extinguish. So now, if we know that it means to put out, to extinguish, then how do we put the Spirit out? How do we extinguish the Spirit? I've got 3 people. Say, I stand in the Word. Ignoring, that's what you said too? Okay, they said it together in harmony, so we're going to go with ignoring. But not standing in the Word is an important part of it, because here's the thing. We hear God through His. Okay? And so it's me learning to hear God in His Word that helps me hear Him when He speaks to me audibly. Because there's nothing He's going to say to me audibly that I can't confirm in His Word. So, you know, if you somebody come up to you talking about, "Child, I was in prayer for 3 hours, and the Lord spoke to me, and He gave me the plan how to rob this bank." Go like this. Go ahead. Because that's not God. It's not. You can't find it in His Word. And so when the scripture says, do not quench the spirit, it is literally talking about don't ignore him. Pay attention to what he's saying. Now, let me ask y'all this. Who besides me has had this thought since March? What in the world is going on? Okay, I gave y'all the save pastor version. I know y'all had other words. What? Yeah, that's out of the room. What in the world is going on? Well, guess what? Guess what? I had that inclination. I had that, and as soon as I had it, God, what is going on? He said, you really want to know? He said, sit down. I got to talk to you a minute. And I told y'all, this is when the Lord started talking to me about the power of deception. The power of deception. He also started talking to me about the power of fear. How if they can trick you into being afraid, they now have all power over you. They can move you wherever they want to move you. Because you're too scared. Too scared. And so that's when the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I was sitting watching TV. It was one of my favorite news channels at the time. I was watching the news, and I really trusted this news channel. They usually were pretty good, you know. And the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, you know they're lying to you, right? He said, now, why are you going to sit here and listen to lies for the next hour? And I did. I turned the channel, and I haven't watched the news since. Because every time I turn it on, without fail, I turn it on, and the Holy Spirit said, they're still lying, watch you. Because when you have the spirit of discernment, the spirit of the Bible tells us that the job of the Holy Spirit is to lead and guide us into all truth. So the Holy Spirit is only concerned with truth. But in order for him to reveal truth, truth always exposes lies. Mm-hmm. See, I don't have to call you a liar. I just have to tell the truth. The truth will call you a liar. Are you hearing me? I'm gonna tell you something else they said in this. I'm gonna tell you something else they said in this documentary that caught my attention. The guy who was the main speaker in this thing, he had done a lot, man. He's such a young cat to have done as much as he's done, and he at the end he said this, and I said, this throws a curveball or throws a monkey wrench into everything the world, the secular system, is teaching right now. Because he literally said, I have to paraphrase it because I can't remember exactly how he said it, but he said, we can't have a world where there's no absolute truth or where everybody can have their own truth. The preacher's right again. He said, we can't survive as a human race that way. He said, because if everybody has their own truth, then that means whatever they do is right. No matter how much it hurts somebody else. See, people don't have discernment. They miss stuff that's right in front of them. They miss stuff. Go to verse 21. It says, but examine everything carefully. Examine everything carefully. So the first clue that a person is operating in discernment is their ability to see details. Are you hearing me? When he says examine everything carefully, he's saying be observant for the details. So I get into conversations with people. They'll tell me, and I said, well, you missed this part. Me and Miggy was having a conversation this week, and we were talking about that fiasco that happened Tuesday night called the presidential debate. And I said to him, I said, you missed the part where this happened, didn't you? He said, that happened? And Carla was there, and Carla said, that happened? I said, yeah, it happened. Go back and watch it again. Because, see, when you're being discerning, you're looking for the small details because you understand how those small details can make a world of difference. Let me show you something. I'm going to show you how a small detail makes a world of difference. The Bible says money is the root of all evil. Isn't that what it says? Huh? But it's no different, right? See how those details matter? So when he says, examine everything carefully, he's saying, be a person that looks at details. Be a person that listens intently. Don't let people fast talk you. You're not being stupid because you tell somebody to repeat that. I need to hear that again. Say that again. Especially when they're trying to sell you something. I've never seen so many people who don't ask questions as I do today. And they just go through their life, and then I don't know how I ended up $20,000 worth of credit card debt because you didn't ask any questions. You figured out you didn't need that stuff if you just would have asked a few questions. Next. Discernment is needed. I would say that discernment is probably the most needed gift in the body of Christ right now. It's the most needed because we have so many things that are constantly screaming at us for our attention. And how do I really know where God is and what God wants to do if I don't have discernment? How do I know what side God is on if I don't have discernment? Or are we satisfied being the kind of people that suppose what God is going to do, that impose on God what he should do? Well, if God was the God he says he is, he would do this my way. It's so needed because here's what I'm watching Christians change the definition of things that God put in place. Marriage is God's idea. No, you don't understand. The very first marriage ceremony was officiated by the Lord himself. The Bible says, and God caused Adam to fall into a deep sleep. He took from him a rib, and out of that rib he formed for him a helpmate. And then somebody was on the organ and started playing dun, 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 dun. And God brought her down, and Adam looked at her. And God said, now what you going to call this one? Adam said, whoa, man. Whoa, this is a little too much. This is you really outdid yourself this time. God officiated that wedding. God defined marriage. And so I am not being homophobic. I'm not being discriminatory when I say, no, I'm going to stand with God. But see, we're so concerned about what people are going to say about us that we will change our position and stand with people because we don't want people. And Jesus told us, he said, take no thought for the one who can destroy the body. He said, worry about the one who can throw both the body and the soul into hell. You're so worried about what people think. I had to tell somebody just this week. I had to tell somebody. We sat and talked for over an hour. And I told him, I said, sir, I said, you have misunderstood something about me. He said, what's that? I said, when God tells me to do something, I don't care what anybody thinks. I said, I said, if you want to, you can call my wife. She'll tell you. If God tells me to do something, I don't even care what she thinks. When God told me to come to Atlanta, she didn't want to come to Atlanta. She told me, I'm not going to Atlanta. I said, well, here's your choices. You can either be in Atlanta and be Mrs. Spencer or be in Columbus and do whatever you want to do, but you can't do both. I'm going to obey God. Are you hearing me? And we don't have Christians, and we don't even have Christian leaders too much anymore that are that resolute. That when God says it is settled, it's settled in heaven, it's settled in my heart. Are you hearing me? Discernment is needed. Scripture. John says, 1 John 4:1, believe not, beloved, believe not every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. He said, stop believing everything. Stop believing just because somebody says they're called to preach that they're actually called to preach. Stop believing because somebody's on Christian TV that that means they're called to preach. Stop believing just because somebody's got a large stadium full of folks that that means God is blessing them. I was talking to somebody this week, and they said, well, you know, this person, we were talking about somebody, and they said, this person really thinks they're blessed right now. I said, that's because they don't realize money isn't always a blessing. I'm gonna let y'all on a little secret. Let y'all on a little secret. You don't even need God's help to get money. You'll need God's help to get money. Drug dealers get money. That's their theme song. Get money, get money, get money. That's their theme song. Is God helping them get money? No. So you have to be willing to look beyond and say, what is the spirit behind this thing? There's a guy, he packs out stadiums. And the first time I heard him preach, I said, that was pretty good. But for some reason, this guy, he just don't jive with me. My wife will tell you, if he comes on Christian TV now, if I walk in and he's on, I turn the channel. I said, there's something about this guy, just don't jive. I just don't feel right. Well, later on, I found out why. God showed me. God said, here's why. Here's why you can't listen to him. God showed, and then a friend of mine who knows him confirmed. Oh yeah, he said he's a fruitcake, nutty, fruity, and flaky. Here's what I'm trying to get you to see. If I didn't have my discernment antennas up, because what he was saying sounded good. Sounded good. I told my wife the other day, I said, see, the reason you, baby, what was that woman's name in the Help? What was the woman? Abilene? Minnie? I told my wife the other day, I said, see, sometimes truth is like Minnie's pie. Sometimes it's like Minnie's pie. It look like chocolate pie. It tastes like chocolate pie. But there's something in there that shouldn't be in there. Are y'all hearing me? And that's how some of these guys preach the gospel. They mix stuff in there that's got no business in there. And they mix it at just the right amount so that you can't taste the dysfunction. You can't taste the deception. This is why my former pastor, Bishop McMurray, used to tell us all the time, stop going listening to everybody. Stop listening to everybody. He said, you go down, you every time I look around, y'all down at Elder Obadiah's church. He said, I don't even know who Elder Obadiah is. Then you come back here and you got a spiritual stomach ache. He said, and then I got to give you castor oil. And I'm the bad guy. Because I got to clean all that garbage out. Stop listening to everybody. Don't believe every spirit. Next. Ephesians 5:15-17. Therefore, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise. Making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand or discern what the will of the Lord is. Discernment goes hand in hand with wisdom. Knowledge is knowing what to do. Wisdom is doing what to do. Discernment and wisdom go hand in hand. Discernment says, I probably shouldn't go there. Probably shouldn't do that. Probably shouldn't hang out with them. probably shouldn't, you know. That's how discernment works. Discernment is just a check sometime in your spirit. And here's the thing. You got to trust the check without explanation. I don't know. My wife will tell you, there's a whole lot of times I say, I don't know why, but I don't think we should do this. I don't know why. God hasn't told me why. I just feel him saying we need to stop right here. Now, I told you earlier about ignoring. There's been times that I've ignored God. God told me don't do something. God told me don't do something one time. It cost me $1 million. Literally. One act of disobedience. Just didn't listen to the Holy Spirit. The Lord said, don't do this. And I said, no, but I'm going to make so much money off of it. See how I started justifying? I'm going to make so much money off of it. This is a good deal. God said, oh, so now you know what a good deal is. Okay, well, do it your way. He never gets upset. He don't trip. Do it your way. I did. Next. You would think I would have said, when he said do it your way, you would think that would have been a clue. You can learn to discern. I started to write, you must learn to discern. But I just want you to know that the spirit of discernment is something you can learn to operate in. Understand? Something you can learn to operate in. This isn't something that, because you already have it, you just don't, have not ignited or have not put it on steroids so that you operate in it daily. You have to operate in this daily. Every day, you've got something you need to discern. Okay? Every day you need the Holy Spirit telling you, hold up. Like last night. I went online last night. I had forgotten, so I went online to make my housing payment, right? They charged me $55. No explanation. An extra $55 they just took. Then I looked at next month, and they got a plan to do it again next month. And the Holy Spirit started telling me last night how to talk when I get to that office today. I needed a head start. Just telling y'all. Here it is, Psalm 119:66. Teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. The psalmist said, teach me good discernment so I can learn this. I can learn how to be more discerning. I can learn how not to believe every spirit. I can learn how to listen to the check in my spirit. It's like when the Lord started talking to me at about 11 o'clock. Don't say that when you go up there, because I had a whole plan. I started to call you to get you to come help me. Well, no, so Jesse the Planet said, he said, I always keep me one good cussing friend. he said, and their job is to cuss for me. He said, then I get them saved and I have to go find me another one. Next. Hebrews 5:14. Watch this. Hebrews 5:14 says, but solid food is for the mature, who because of practice. We ain't talking about practice. We ain't talking about the game. We're talking about practice. He said, because of practice, have their senses what? Trained to discern what is good and evil. So we now know that discernment is something I can practice. See, I think the reason why more people don't operate in discernment is because when you first start trying to operate in discernment, a lot of people become superstitious, judgmental, you know what I mean? But see, you have to understand that's a part of the process. It's a part of the process of you learning what true discernment is and how not to be judgmental and how not to be suspicious. You understand what I'm saying? All right. Next. Discernment gives us boldness. See, once I discern something, and I know I've discerned it right, I ain't scared to speak to it. I can talk directly to it. What do I mean? Years ago, my son was away at college, and I bought him a brand new phone, and phone was very expensive. So I told him, my son is one of these people, he doesn't like these new phones. He doesn't like putting cases on his phone. I'm like, you got a $1,000 phone. Why don't you put a case on it? A $20 case could save the phone, you know what I mean? But he doesn't want to do that. Back then, he had this really nice phone, and he didn't want to put it in his pocket. He wanted to look cool, clip it on his belt loop or something. And so I told him, I said, hey, man, I said, make sure you put that phone away. I said, that's a hot phone, man. Somebody's going to lift that phone if you don't put it away. All right, Dad, I hear you. I got you. No, you ain't got me. Better got you. Because if you mess around and lose that phone, I'm going to get you. And so, 1 o'clock in the morning, phone rings at the house. Number I don't recognize. That's why you calling me on my home phone. This is back when you had a home phone and a cell phone. Calling me on my home phone. And so I pick up the phone. Hello? Who's calling me this time? Somebody better be dead. And so he said, Dad. I said, who is this? He said, I don't care. It's got to be an imposter. It's got to be an imposter. Who is this? Dad, it's me. Okay, me, what do you want at 1 o'clock in the morning? Dad, I lost my phone, and I just wanted to tell you so that you can shut it off so that a bunch of charges won't get on it. I said, how'd you lose your phone? Dad, I don't know, but I know that if you don't shut it off, now keep in mind, even back then I had an unlimited calling plan. You don't shut it up, we're going to have a bunch of charges. I said, all right. I said, how can I reach you tomorrow? So he gave me a number to call him at. And I hung the phone up. My wife said, what's wrong? I said, I don't know, but the Holy Spirit will tell me. I went to bed. Woke up the next morning. I called him. I said, so tell me how you lost your phone. He said, I really don't know. He said, I had it in my pocket. He said, maybe I was using it in the car. And when I got out of the car, I dropped it. He said, I don't know how I lost. I said, well, then tell me this. I said, I was asleep last night, and the Holy Spirit showed me you standing in a bar. He said, you had on a T-shirt and some jeans, and you had your phone clipped on your belt loop. He said, huh? I said, yeah, you had your phone clipped on your belt loop. I said, now, would you like for me to describe the guy who picked your phone? I said, because he lifted your phone. He said, huh? The Holy Spirit reveals everything. All you got to do is ask him. I'm telling you. All you got to do is ask him. Here's the boldness. Acts 13:9-11. But Saul, who was also known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze on him and said, you who are full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord? Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and not see the sun for a time. And immediately a mist and a darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking those who would lead him by the hand. Now this is a young man who he was deceiving people by trying to make it look like he was doing the miracles that Paul and the apostles were doing. And Paul discerned his motive. His motive was all about money. His motive was all about. And so Paul didn't say, brother, now if you would, please don't do that. No. Paul said, you son of the devil. Y'all pray for her. Paul said, you son of the devil. You crooked deceiver. Discernment makes you bold. Because once you know what it is, you can call it exactly what it is. You don't have to, oh, I don't know if I should say that. Yeah, say it. They need to hear it. They need to hear it. All right, let's pray. Am I done? I'm done? Yes, last one. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word. We ask you, Lord, that you would give us great discernment. give us the ability to discern good and evil, to discern right from wrong, to know where you are and what your plans are in every circumstance. We thank you for the ability and the gift of discernment. I pray that your people will become more discerning, that they would understand the importance of being able to see through and hear you clearly despite all the noise. They can know exactly where you stand on every important issue that faces our society today. And then they'll be able to declare your will to a lost and dying world without reserve or without fear. I give you praise for it now. In the name of Jesus. Listen, I know everybody.